Mark Simone on the voice of New York, 710 WOR.
Well, we got lots to talk about today. We'll go over last night's Democratic debate. Why was that exciting? And then tonight, the big Joe Biden, Kamala Harris rematch. We'll get to that. We'll get to this crazy California law. We'll get to Jeffrey Epstein. Wait till you hear about this Google summit on climate change. Wait till you hear what these elitists did there. Also, you know who separates children from their parents?
Who does that?
We'll get to that. Every municipality in America.
Oh, my God.
Baltimore does it. We'll get to that coming up. And, hey, before you throw mail in the mailbox, you better, we'll tell you why that could be dangerous. We'll get to that coming up. So, Democratic debate round one last night. I tell you when you know you got a problem. You Democrats better listen to this. When Elizabeth Warren is the life of the party, you got a weak field. When she steals the show, you really got a problem. Who were some of those people?
I don't know.
I don't know who the hell half of those people were. It looked like some accountant, somebody's lawyer.
It's funny. They were talking about all those people being Googled by people wondering, who are these people?
Yeah, you know, even the guy that the big moment, the big one great line was Bernie Sanders when the guy says, well, you don't know that. You don't know that. And he said, I wrote the damn bill.
Yeah, right.
Well, who the hell was that other guy?
Who is he? That was Tim Ryan.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure it's Tim Ryan.
But we don't know, but that should have been the line of the night. Who the hell are you? Who are you?
That would be a good one.
Yeah. That you know, I would do that in tonight's debate. Or Bernie should do that next time. He got a big big boost from that line. He was talking about the bill will pay for your eyeglasses, it'll pay for your dental care, and the guy said, well, Bernie, you don't know that.
Medicare for All is comprehensive. It covers all health care needs for senior citizens. It will finally include dental care, hearing aids, and eyeglasses.
But you don't know.
Second
that.
Of all.
You don't know that,
second
Bernie.
Of all.
We'll come to you in a second,
I do know, and I wrote the damn bill.
All right, that's a big line. But he should have said, do I know you? Who the hell are you? How did you get up here? Is this one of the candidates? That's what he should have said. But, you know, and Bernie is, they're putting out bumper stickers, buttons. I wrote the damn bill. Has anybody stopped to think about this? That doesn't mean it's true. This guy could be right. You don't know.
Yeah,
it's
that's true, yeah.
I wrote the damn bill. What does that mean? You could write anything you want in the bill. What he's saying is you don't know that this will actually pay for all that.
Right.
But that, yes, it is. You know, it's like if you make up some fictional nonsense, you don't know if that's true. Yes, I do. I wrote it. Well, that's not the proof that you wrote it. So that was the big moment. And again, Elizabeth Warren, how could she steal the show?
Using Republican talking points.
This was the funniest part of the debate. You know, they're talking about it's free dental care, free school, free rent, free everything, free daycare, free everything. And then when the moderator or somebody said, how are you going to pay for that?
Stop using Republican talking points in order to talk with each other about how to best provide that health care.
You know, that's the Republican talking point. Well, wait a minute. How do you pay for this?
Yeah, don't ask that. Don't ask that at all.
So, you know, if you have a fight with your wife or your husband, you say to your wife, hey, I just went out and bought a brand new Rolls Royce. Well, how are you going to pay for that? Hey, stop using Republican talking points. Just try that. How are you going to finance this? That's a Republican talking point. If you go to the bank for a loan and they say, well, we don't see enough collateral, how are you going to secure this loan? Hey, stop using Republican talking points. Just be Elizabeth
Warren. I like
Warren.
That line. Yeah, I'm going to use it.
Hey, the other thing. And give Donald Trump credit. I never thought I'd live to see this. The beginning of the Democratic debate, this must have repulsed them. They played the national anthem.
Yeah.
That's all because of Donald Trump questioning their anti-American themes and policies. And they actually were forced to pretend to enjoy listening to the national anthem. And they put their hand over their heart. They stood there.
Yeah, that had to hurt, huh?
That must have really hurt them. And I'm sure backstage there was a huge fight. What do you mean? I'm not going to put my hand over my heart. But Bernie, look, we got to do this. We did the polling, and Elizabeth Warren, everybody must have been fighting. till Perez from the DNC had to convince him, you got to do this. We have to do this. And this one guy, Ryan, even protested, wouldn't put his hand over his heart.
Yeah, no.
So Donald Trump, keep it up. Keep going after the anti-American subtext and themes that they raise. By fall, he will have them wearing American flag lapel pins. They'll look like Roger Ailes with American flag lapel pins all over them. So it was endless free stuff. Who could resist this party? I'm going to vote for them.
Hey, they're going to give you everything.
Free.
Everything you need.
Everything. Now, do you think Democratic voters, especially millennials watching this, know that it's not actually free? It's taxpayer funded. The money will be yanked out of their paychecks to pay for this. They just go right into your paycheck and take the money to pay for it. That's how it's free.
Elizabeth Warren was explaining this whole Medicare plan.
Yeah.
She said, well, it may cost more in terms of taxes, but you'll save money.
Yeah. So you may have to pay an extra $20,000 a year in taxes, but you're going to save $3,000 or $4,000 in your medical bills.
That's a
great plan. They were also forced to have it in Michigan. They want to win that state. That's a crucial state. Winning the Rust Belt is the only way back. It's probably an impossible dream, but they want to win the Rust Belt. That's why they have the debate in Michigan. And all of them, as soon as it was over, saying to themselves, get the hell out of Michigan. Ugh, that's Michigan. In fact, if you're listening to us in Michigan right now, I know it was great to have the debate last night in Michigan. You'll never see these people again. They may come and campaign there. But once the campaign is over, you're never going to see them again. And did you like the format of that?
It's all right.
Yeah, I don't understand this. They expanded it from 2 hours to 3 hours. Yet they seemed to have less time last night. It was in such a rush, the whole thing.
I didn't make 3 hours, I'll tell you that.
You know, it was like watching Jeopardy or something. Time's up. Let's go to you. It was like speed dating was really bad. So, and then I love my favorite exchange was Elizabeth Warren talking about what she would do in case of nuclear war and her greatest fear is nuclear war. But God forbid we had a nuclear war. My greatest fear would be having a Harvard professor run our nuclear war for us.
That is a fear, yeah.
This old woman with the granny glasses would be our nuclear general. Who is Marianne Williamson? I know she's a...
author.
Of what?
Books. I think she's like a self-help person.
And if we sound stupid, it's because only you women read this Marianne Williamson. No guy has ever heard of her. Maybe you all know who she is, but we've never heard of her. We don't know who she is. Self-help for what?
I don't know. I mean, personal issues, I guess.
You know, it's like yoga. We were talking about that the other day. All you women, every woman you see, I'm going to yoga right now. I'll be back after yoga. I'm on my way to yoga. No guy's ever been to yoga. We don't know what the hell you do in there. It's all part of this Marianne Williamson stuff.
It wouldn't look good wearing yoga pants around, town. It's fine on the women, but...
No, and this Marianne Williamson, what a... concrete policies.
We have communities, particularly communities of color and disadvantaged communities all over this country who are suffering from environmental injustice. I assure you, I lived in Grosse Pointe. What happened in Flint would not have happened in Grosse Pointe. This is part of the dark underbelly of American society.
Environmental what?
The water contamination in Flint.
But that's one place, the water.
But she said it would not happen in Grosse Pointe. It was just a white area of Detroit.
Okay, but what is she talking about environmental in the other poor areas?
I have no idea. She was out there.
Is she talking about Baltimore?
I thought she was talking about Detroit.
Yeah, but she said the whole country. She said everywhere in the country if you're one of these disadvantaged areas. So it sounds like she's talking about Baltimore, too.
Oh, probably, yeah.
Yeah. When you talk about environmental problems, I think rats, rodents, that would qualify, garbage all over the So, is she a racist now? Didn't she say basically what Donald Trump said? Why should anybody have to live in these conditions?
Well, her point was that if it only happens in minority areas, if there's a white population, it would not get to that point.
Well, but that's not true. You can find plenty of areas like that. Although, many times, I mean, I think the one, if you want to look for a factor, a common factor, they all seem to have Democratic administrations for like the last 50 years.
That is a common thread, yes.
Which is two problems. One, the Democratic policies don't seem to work when running municipalities. You end up with these conditions. And the other thing is you get just permanent Democratic establishment and they can't lose. They're not motivated or forced to do anything about the problems. Baltimore, you've had Democrats in charge for 62 years. not a lot of motivation on their part. They're not saying to themselves, we better do something, or we're going to lose the next election. But this Marianne Williamson.
The racism, the bigotry, and the entire conversation that we're having here tonight, if you think any of this wonkiness is going to deal with this dark psychic force of the collectivized hatred that this...
Okay, that made a lot of sense to me. There's a dark, eerie force of collectivized, whatever she's talking about.
Still trying to figure that one out.
And when she says, if you think this wonkiness is going to help, that's Elizabeth Warren she's talking about, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, why didn't Elizabeth Warren go right over and smack her? Why didn't Bernie say, what the hell are you? I never saw your books. He should have just said at one point, I know Elizabeth Warren here, but what the hell are these other people?
That would be good. That would be a great line.
Joe Biden should do that tonight. I'm telling you, if he's listening, Joe, tonight, at some point, I know Cory Booker, and I know him. Who are these other people? Who are they? Where'd you come from? So I love when Marianne Williamson said we need to have a serious conversation about race.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see the whole country canceling the Netflix subscription. Yeah, let's just do that for a year. That'll be a lot of fun. And speaking of race, there were 10 candidates last night.
Yep.
They were all white.
Well,
what?
Yeah.
It was supposed to be the diversity party.
It was a random draw.
But tomorrow they're all white except for one guy.
Wait a minute. No. It's Kamala Harris.
Oh, two. Okay, two.
Okay.
Yeah. Two. Okay.
Okay, two.
Out of 20. What's that? How many? But
well, I mean, there's...
So 1%, 10%, 10%.
Julian Castro.
Doesn't count.
All right. He's not African-American.
You got the Asian guy. But that doesn't count. I'm just saying, this is not the party of great diversity. The diversity is like 5% is the diversity. Yeah. So I don't think they should be. But it's Democrats. Just go by what they say. Don't worry about what they do. Just go by what they say, not what they do. I love listening to these Democrats. Every one of them made a whole speech about how Donald Trump is using fear to campaign. He's campaigning on fear. Then they launch right into a speech about how the whole world's going to end in 10 years and climate change is going to kill you in 10 years, but you're also going to get killed by gun violence in 5 years and you're going to have no health coverage. Who's campaigning fear here?
Nothing to fear there.
The whole world ending in 10 years. I got to admit, that was a little more fearful than anything Donald Trump ever said. Beto O'Rourke said that, right? We've got 10 years left.
Yeah. I think he's got 10 minutes left.
Yeah. By the way, you know about this Google Summit that's going on right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Google Summit is taking place right now. It's where all the elitists of the world, every great elitist from Hollywood to Washington to New York, it's like a Davos, like that kind of thing. These elitist idiots from all over are meeting for the Google Summit on climate change. I don't know why, but it's being held on Sicily on an island.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them has arrived by mega yacht, private jet. They are causing the biggest single amount of pollution any place in the world right now. There's no factory in China causing as much carbon emission as these idiots right now. Obama, private jet, DiCaprio coming on his mega yacht. Nobody is polluting more than these idiots on their way to the climate change. It's setting the world record for pollution for any 100 people ever in history.
It is amazing, isn't it?
It's like this crazy Michael Bloomberg who has 3 planes, 2 helicopters, 42 cars, 14 houses, 6 boats, and he's telling you should take the bus to conserve energy.
It's a lot of stuff.
It's ridiculous. Hey, remember we were talking about Capital One and the breach? This hasn't really come out yet. Apparently, the breach problem, what was it, 109 million?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Accounts were broken in. This story could mushroom into something else. Apparently, the breach problem is at some point, I think it was last year, Capital One decided to move all this data over to an Amazon cloud. You know, that's what all these companies do, cloud storage.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They moved it to an Amazon cloud. So it's the Amazon cloud that got hacked and breached. That's how all the data got out. So everybody's going after Capital One. Capital One stock plunged yesterday, dropping like crazy. But this could turn out to be an Amazon problem. Because Capital One is now saying they actually regret moving everything over to that cloud.
Well, this was a software worker that Did she work for Amazon for Capital One?
No, Amazon. Apparently there was a woman who used to work on these Amazon clouds, and she's been a little nutty lately. She's the one that hacked into it. She seems really nuts, which is good. That means she won't know what to do with the data.
Well, that's one of the things they're claiming, is that she just downloaded all this information and didn't share it with anyone.
Yeah, she seems to be just a nut who was acting crazy on the internet for the last 6 months, which is good. It's not like it's some professional Russian hacker who's printing up a million credit cards right now with that information.
Imagine.
So, but watch out for Amazon to have a problem here. At some point, they're going to have to explain how that cloud... That's the reason you move it to an Amazon cloud. You figure it's safer there than anywhere else. So we got lots to get to. We'll get back to the debate. Hey, also we'll get to, before you order anything on Seamless, Grubhub, Uber Eats, we better go over this a little later. Check out the webpage. There's some great stuff up there today. Here's the best parody of the Democratic debate. Take a look at that. Also, you know, Al Sharpton, big anti-Semite. We'll read you some quotes. Real racist. Also, he is anti-gay. Boy, does he hate gay people. Watch this little video of Al Sharpton a few years ago with his anti-gay rant when he sees a gay guy in the audience. And hey, watch this. We were talking about this yesterday. This judge gets sentenced in a courtroom, and she's sentenced to jail, but she won't go. Watch them have to drag her out. Drag her out of the court. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
Can't hear the whole show live? Get the rest with Mark Simone on demand. Get his podcast at 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
On 710WOR.
Hey, we'll take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. Oh, we forgot about Mayor Pete. You know, Mayor Pete, the Buttigieg, the little guy. He's... losing a little of his luster there. He is probably going to end up for a while being the Democratic version of Rick Santorum. You remember Rick Santorum? He started off great, but then he was sort of became sort of a goofy, not ready for primetime guy. Sort of a, and then he went to CNN. He's still there as a commentator, but just kind of a goofy guy who. I think Mayor Pete may end up that way, but he was all right last night.
If you are a black American, you are living in...
Oh, that's not the debate. Here's the debate.
As long as I've been alive, I've watched Democrats organize ourselves according to what the Republicans are doing or what the Republicans are saying. I think the time...
Yeah, that's a problem. He's getting a little boring. We had a little too much of Pete.
Nominate me, and you get to see the President of the United States stand next to an American war veteran. And explain why.
Yeah, he's got a problem with that American war veteran. When you start digging into his service, it's a little questionable. While he was mayor, he joined the reserve, Naval Reserve, and pulling a lot of strings to make sure he got sent over there just on a base at a desk job. There's not much he ever did. He claims he went off the base a few times on, driving somebody somewhere. Basically a desk job on a base. He worked in intelligence. You can tell from all the pictures, he's never in uniform over there, never wearing a helmet, which means he's never in danger. The only picture of him you'll find online in uniform is taken at the South Bend Airport. But so if he keeps pushing that war veteran stuff, he's going to have a problem. Also, he can't compare his military record with the president's because, again, for 8 months, he had a little desk job at a base. But for the last couple of years, Donald Trump has been the commander-in-chief of the American military, which is a much bigger credential than the little tiny desk job. Let's go to Vincent and Brunson.
Good morning, Mark. Great show as always. Mark, perhaps you'll remember the Tom Stoppard movie that Tom Hanks played the lead in there, the Bonfire of the Vanities.
I love that movie. Sherman McCoy.
All the corruption and all the absurdities of New York life. At the end of the Koch administration, David Dinkins, there was even Al Sharpton in there. That's when he used to put grease in his hair, and he used to wear those. He was really fat.
Yeah, there was an Al Sharpton character in there.
An Al Sharpton character, excuse me. But that's when he was fat, used to eat 20 cheeseburgers a day, and he used to wear those ridiculous acrylic running suits. And he used to put grease in his hair and straighten it out and everything. But he always had a flip on. That's before...
All right, but let's be fair.
Inciting a riot, and they threw the bomb in Freddie's department store.
Yeah, yeah, got a lot of people killed. But let's be fair. A lot of you guys wore those velvet running suits, too.
No, I never wore one.
Not you, but you know what I mean.
Mark, I don't even go out in this hot weather with short pants. What, are you kidding me?
Okay, you are more the De Niro well-dressed kind of.
That's right.
Exactly. Okay, but a lot of guys.
Mark, when I leave my house, I don't wear white shoes either.
Okay, but you'll admit a lot of the crew velvet running suits like Paulie Walnuts.
They don't have class. They don't have any class at all. What can I tell you? My father used to work 70 years ago, worked for F&R Tripler on 5th Avenue. What is it, 45th Street? My father worked there. He was a tailor.
Oh.
And so, I don't know.
Yeah, you remember the great scene in The Sopranos where after the barbecue at Tony's house, the big Don from New York sees Tony. He goes, I heard you had a barbecue. He goes, yeah. He said, a Don doesn't wear shorts.
Exactly. Get out of here. I don't know any wise guys who wear shorts and white sneakers in the summertime. Get out. Maybe in your house, but I don't care. Even yesterday, I will not go outside and wear shorts.
All right, Vincent. Very good.
Well, Mark, everybody's got to check that movie out because it really chronicled the absurdities of the late 1980s when
Very good
there
point.
Were 2,000 murders a day practically in New York City. The streets were filthy.
It was bad. All right, Vincent, thanks for calling. He's right. Go get the movie. Bonfire of the Vanities. There's a big Al Sharpton character in there. There's a big criminal lawyer. I think that was based on Eddie Hayes. And it's a really great movie. Tom Wolfe, of course, wrote the book Bonfire of the Vanities. I'm sure you can find it online somewhere. Hey, Lester Holt, this guy is the king of fake news. Unbelievable. They did a story last night about the president's awful comments about Baltimore. And then they opened with this. Then they had the reporter in Baltimore to talk to residents. You should see the editing. They went all over to find the finest, most beautiful, pristine locations in Baltimore. And that's the only shots they used. You would think Baltimore was Monte Carlo. It's the cleanest, most beautiful city. And they found like two or three residents. They must have to reject like 500 of them. They find two or three to say, I don't know what he's talking about. Everything is great here. So it was the most misleading piece I have ever seen in my life.
Well, down on the waterfront, it's beautiful.
Well, it wasn't the waterfront. They made sure not to do that. That'd be too obvious. It was in residential neighborhoods.
Oh, okay.
But they found really beautiful buildings. It was the most false fake news ever. And Lester Holt's defense, there are people over there that tell me, don't blame him. He's not this crazy. He's in a hostage situation. He needs the job. He can't quit. He does what he's told over there. So let's go to James in Brooklyn. Hey, James.
Hi, I just wanted to tell you that the Amazon hacker is a woman, but she's actually a trans woman, if you look up the story.
Oh. Well, I wasn't really...
That would explain, you don't really hear about lady hackers, right?
Well, there you go. Your first big famous trans whatever, so...
Trans hacker, right. Google it.
Trans hacker, all right. Sounds like a wonderful person. So, hey, speaking of which, you know, Democrats, if you can't wound Donald Trump, if you can't really hurt him, they will throw you in the garbage can so fast. When was the last time you heard about that angry soccer woman? Remember her?
Which one?
The soccer team captain.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
When was the last time you heard about her? Where'd she go? You ever heard anybody mention Robert Mueller in the last 4 days? Nope, done with him. Next.
Racism.
Oh, wait. Now, here's the deal. When you order on Uber Eats, Grubhub, Seamless, what's really going on there? Who's paying what? It's very interesting. We'll get to all of that coming up. We'll talk about the great restaurant stuff coming up in just a moment on 710 WOR. Let's get all the latest news. Here's Joe Bartlett.
Mark Simone.
On the Voice of New York.
710 WOR.
Well, Drew Neeporant is America's biggest and best restaurateur, from Nobu to Tribeca Grill to Batard to dozens and dozens and dozens of restaurants around the world. Drew, how you doing?
Good morning. How you doing, Mark?
Very good. Very good. Hey, let me ask you about all this stuff that people use. Open Table. Do restaurants like that?
You know, Open Table is very successful. You know, I'm old school. I had my first restaurant 35 years ago. I still have it. Tribeca Grill is 29 years. So when Open Table came about, of course, there was a competitor. I think it was called Food Lime. And they offered me $1 million in stock to be, you know, on the board.
Really?
So I thought that was fantastic. So I went to my accountant. He goes, yeah, no, you're going to owe about $300,000 in taxes on that money. I said, but I don't have the money. They said, but, you know, it's valued at that. And, of course, Food Lime went totally, you know, it never went anywhere. And Open Table is everywhere. It's fantastic. And people, it's the most amazing thing. People don't want to call to make reservations. They just go online. They make reservations online.
But how does it work? Do you guys, do you restaurants, do you pay for that service?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They, you know, listen, the restaurant business, it's getting worse and worse. But now there's so many middle people. Now, admittedly, OpenTable, you know, at the beginning, I thought, the necessary evil. Some people are going to want to book online if they don't find you online. But, you know, now it's like you have to go with it. But, no, you pay like $1 a reservation.
Oh.
There's a monthly fee, and there's a fee for the equipment. And it's very expensive. And, you know, all these delivery services, they take a whopping percentage of the money. So we don't actually work with Grubhub or Caviar, or even my nephew works for Uber Eats. I don't even work with any of those companies because you can't make any money.
Well, so what's the deal? If I order something, it's $30, but if I order it from Uber Eats, who pays that fee? The restaurant?
Yeah, no, we pay like, I think it's 20%.
20%?
Negotiate. Oh, it's unbelievable, Mark. It kills you. I mean, listen, in the restaurant business, you know, I mean, it's what I do. I've been in it my whole life, but it is almost impossible to make a profit now. Almost impossible.
And that's why every restaurant guy has to have 7 restaurants, 12 restaurants.
Well, you know, when I proliferated the restaurants, it's because, like, there was a tremendous upside. You could actually make money. Now, you know, there's somebody, you know, sends me all the listings, and restaurants are going out of business almost like one a day. You know, in Bombay Bread Company. Oh, we can get that. Yeah, for $45,000 a month. I mean, it's like, you know, the Four Seasons, they said they spent $30 million, the new Four Seasons, up the block from the old Four Seasons. So a guy from Washington, a very good chef, he called me. He says, I can get it for nothing. I said, well, what's the rent? He goes, $1 million a year. I said, can you imagine? Just take the $10 million that you signed a lease for 10 years. Take the $10 million and give $2 million to 5 of your top people. And in 10 years from now, they're going to have something they could sell for $3 million.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable.
So, hey, what's the deal with this impossible meat or beyond meat? Everybody is saying it tastes just like hamburger. I mean, you use that in any restaurants?
No, I don't use it. But, I, you know, it's funny that you said that. I swear, you know, I'm going to have to check it out. I know the guy in New York who has, like, the place where I think it's the best one they serve, but... You know, I make the hamburgers at Madison Square Garden. They're delicious.
Oh, that's right. You do make the best hamburgers in New York.
Oh, my God. We serve about 1,000 for a Nick or a Ranger game for the concert. So, actually, Madison Square Garden, you know, Mark, you got Barbra Streisand this Saturday. You got Queen next week. You got the Rolling Stones are in town. There's a lot of great music this summer.
Barbra Streisand, I remember going to her very final concert. It was the farewell concert. I think that was 1995.
She's 95 now. She still sings. No,
but she's still doing concerts, even after that farewell concert.
Mark, I was in London like 3 weeks ago, and it was a Sunday. It was quiet, and I'm talking to a friend of mine, and he goes, Woody Allen is walking right towards me. Okay? You know, it was like a ghost. There was nobody on the street. And then the other day I was in Grand Central, and Bette Midler is walking. And, like, you know, she had no makeup on. Nobody would recognize her. It was unbelievable. But, of course, you know, I recognize her. And then we had Meryl Streep yesterday for lunch at the Tribeca Grill. She was having lunch with Steven Soderbergh, probably discussing the next great whatever. So, pretty amazing.
Yeah, you can pick up a lot of business dealings before anybody else because you can see who's having lunch with who, right?
Well, you know, that's absolutely the case. Yeah.
So, hey, what about all these new, like the South Street Seaport is back, but I don't know. And this Hudson Yards looks like a disaster. It's some beautiful.
Well, Hudson Yards, you know, you have to give them credit. They only spent like $30 billion to get that thing going. You know, if that's the future of food in New York, you know, we're really in trouble. The Fulton thing is a little different. John George, it just seems anything he touches, it's just going to be great. You know, a bad John George restaurant is probably better than most restaurants.
Yeah.
And just got reviewed yesterday, fantastic review. The truth is, when they developed the Fulton Fish Market years ago, they had so much going on, and there's nothing there now. But they're going to start, you know, right now it's John George, then I think David Chang has opened his place, Andrew Carmelini. So you got to give him credit. But it really, you know, being a New Yorker as I am, that's the hardest part of New York to get to, really. It's like very difficult over there.
Yeah, the problem with the Hudson Yards, they start planning these things 15 years ahead of time. So 15 years ago, it seemed like a great idea. Retail stores and extra restaurants. But now we got enough restaurants, and who needs retail stores anymore?
But the restaurants are all high-end. I mean, the prices are so expensive at Milos that the menu that's in front of the restaurant in Hudson Yards does not give you any prices.
Because people would faint. They'd need ambulances there.
It's insane, the prices. I went to TAC, and I think it's $66 for a veal chop, and then you have to order $7 sauce. I mean, no, you have the sauces separate, and of course, $16 for a side dish. It's crazy. I mean, honestly, I mean, this is what I do, but I was thinking about it today. I hope something happens where they literally can reduce the rents. It's never happened. The rents have never gone down in New York City, but maybe, you know, you'll never know, because there's going to be a lot of empty space. We vacated Nobu on 105 Hudson Street 2.5 years ago. The space is still empty.
But, you know, I've asked these real estate guys why they do that. Why don't they just leave the restaurant? And they told me that they get loans for their real estate, hundreds of millions of dollars of these bank loans, and if they lower the rent, it changes the terms of the loan, and they'd lose the loan.
Very interesting, yeah.
So if you revalue
I want everybody to make a living, but you know, over the years I've signed literally hundreds of leases, and it never goes down. You know, you can never negotiate down, and it's crazy.
That's why they would have to renegotiate the $700 million loan on the property, and that's why they can't lower it. So,
and you want to hear something crazy?
Yeah.
Right next door to Tribeca Grill in 1999, I could have bought. I eventually went in there with my baker, and I paid rent because somebody bought the place under, you know, they raised the price. But I could have bought this property for $650,000. It sold last week for $37 million.
Yeah, but
20 years.
Every time, everybody knows a building they could have bought for $10,000, now it's worth $80,000. Yeah. There's another one of those right now. You just got to figure out where it is.
I don't know when the bubble bursts, but I'm happy that in the twilight of my career, I don't have to kill anybody to, you know, make a living. I made a very fine living over the years, and my restaurants, thank God, are doing great. Nobu, you talked about Megan Rapinoe. They got off the plane in New York. They all came to Nobu downtown as their first meal. So that was terrific. And, you know, listen, thank God. Yeah, 25 years. Nobu is 25 years now.
If you haven't seen the new Nobu downtown, it is beautiful, spectacular. Yeah. Go take a look at it down in the financial district, Nobu on 57th, and Tribeca Grill and Batard. And
And by the way, I got to give a plug, Nick, but it's really restaurant month. It's
Yeah.
So we just finished the first week. We're packed at Batard because the price, $42, you can't beat that price. And, you know, there's like 400 restaurants involved. Nobu actually... At 105, the Nobu downtown, 195 Broadway, is serving the $26 lunch price for two courses.
What's the website people go to for that?
Yeah, it's Nobu, you know, Nobu.com.
No, the Restaurant Week.
There's NYCRestaurantWeek.com, I believe is the...
Yeah, check it out. Very good stuff. Well, Drew, thanks for being with us. Always great talking to you.
I love you, Mark. Take care,
man. All right, take care. Hey, check out the webpage. You want to see the best parody of the Democratic debate? Want to see Al Sharpton, one of his anti-gay rants? It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark.